It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Creating the formula for the perfect curriculum can be a complex issue, requiring balance between subjects, instructors, and policy advocates. For several years, there's been an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, but many experts are now pushing for an equal emphasis on the creative arts. A roundtable discussion was held in Pittsburgh earlier this month at the request of Senate Democratic leader Jay Costa, during which community leaders and the Senate Democratic Policy Committee evaluated how to turn STEM into STEAM. I'm joined now in Studio A by Sean Tomaszewski, who serves as the STEAM coordinator for the Pittsburgh Public Schools. He took part in the discussion. Sean Tomaszewski, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Kimberly Cruz. She's Senior Program Officer, Arts Education, for the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Dr. Cruz, good to have you with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. Let's begin by having you talk about what was brought up at this meeting. Sean Tomaszewski, you were there. How do you turn STEM into STEAM?
The Senate Democratic Leadership Policy Panel initiated the discussion around how we can really purposefully use the arts education frameworks as entry points into the sort of traditional STEM curricular areas. So the panelists were comprised of educators and politicians and community advocates who were sort of giving their advice on how we could achieve those goals.
Kimberly Cruz, is enough being done to put an equal emphasis on the creative arts in the Pittsburgh Public Schools?
I would like to see so much more, although we have made efforts and we've definitely made strides, but in terms of an adequate amount, perhaps not. Now, we do offer arts education in all of our schools, but in terms of arts integration, that is one area in which we could probably do just a little bit more.
What's missing?
Well, when you think about arts integration, by definition, it is kind of a learning approach in which the arts are infused with other core curricular. And so when you talk about other core curricular, there are non-arts teachers who teach those core curricula. And so with that, you'd have to have buy-in. There has to be some camaraderie. There has to be some collaboration between the arts educators and the other core teachers.
And so is that a matter of cross-pollinating curricula based on how arts can mesh with STEM? Is that how you would envision it?
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely how we would envision it. Not where there is more art than science or more science than art. You would see both art and science balanced in the instruction.
And also, Sean, designed in a way that arts enhances the learning opportunities that go with science, math, or whatever it is that the kids are taking?
Absolutely. So in the Pittsburgh Public School District, we have K-12 STEAM magnet pipeline that's comprised of an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school. And we had the opportunity to convene all the faculty at the STEAM schools over the summer to really purposely develop cross-curricular learning opportunities for students that very explicitly pull in the arts along with science and social studies and ELA and math.
We'd again like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. What is arts education like in your school, whether it's a Pittsburgh public school or you're in another district somewhere? How is arts education playing out? How is it helping students to learn? What has your experience been with that as a parent, as an educator, or perhaps even a student? If you are a student, you should probably be in school right now, but maybe you're homesick and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh like all the good kids do when they're home. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Sean Tomaszewski and Dr. Kimberly Cruz. We heard Henry Winkler earlier talking about how he was almost, in a way, tortured with being forced to repeat geometry, a subject that he could barely grasp over and over, semester after semester, regular school and summer school, while he knew what he wanted to do in life, and yet he was forced to do this thing that really, to him, didn't seem to fit in with his goals anyway. He knew he wasn't good at it, and he's wondering why he's being forced to do it. What about his feelings that we need to embrace the things that kids are good at and help them meet their destiny?
So I can start by answering that question by saying I think oftentimes it's the way that the child is exposed to the content that needs to be rethought. Chris Emden is a researcher at Columbia, and he's looked into how specifically we can use STEAM frameworks to engage urban students and use the arts as an entry point into traditional STEM content areas. At our middle school, Schiller Middle School, the students were engaged in an activity where they had to build a bridge, and it was a somewhat traditional engineering activity where
build a bridge. Literally build a bridge?
Literally build a model of a bridge.
Okay.
Where they were given certain masses that the bridge had to support. The bridge had to incorporate certain geometries into it. So they're really learning some significant physical science and mathematics content through this lesson. And one of the students was particularly engaged whenever she started learning about the Rachel Carson Bridge in Pittsburgh and how that bridge was named after Rachel Carson because she was somebody who had a significant impact on our region. And she was able to very artfully create her bridge model and sort of use the bridge to commemorate her mother who had recently passed away from cancer. So in that traditional engineering lesson framework, if you engage the kids through arts entry points, there's significant engagement that can be achieved. And so you don't have cases like Henry Winkler who become disengaged and experience prolonged failure in the subjects.
Let's take a call from Jack in Upper St. Clair, who has a comment for us. Jack, welcome. You are on the air with Sean Tomaszewski and Kimberly Cruz.
Hey, good afternoon. Great Henry Winkler interview, by the way, so thank you for that. My comments are around, so I live in the Upper St. Clair School District. Both children have graduated. I think for my son, who graduated a few years ago, you know, first of all, like many schools in Western Pennsylvania, St. Clair definitely holds itself up as one of the top-tier blue ribbon schools. However, I think for someone like my son, who's very talented, very gifted, but certainly gifted more on the art side of the equation, he was very much underserved in that school district because the teachers, I think, just don't do a great job of, or an adequate job of really diagnosing what each student really needs compared to really kind of catering more to the students that are doing well in science and in math and other such subjects. So, you know, looking back now as a parent, I think certainly a good example of where teachers just need to do a better job of really finding out what makes each student, you really resonate with the right, you know, type of curriculum for them.
Well, it's an interesting comment. And Dr. Cruz, I'm going to let you respond to what Jack is talking about here. Thank you, Jack.
It is unfortunate that your son receives such, I would say, maybe a disservice as far as arts education is concerned. That happens a lot, unfortunately. But I must say that arts integration or STEAM is not a substitute for traditional, authentic arts education. Our students need those courses anyway to have or to foster a quality education for them. It is important to also note that students, as we think about Howard Gardner and the multiple intelligences, our students have different abilities and different intelligences that allow them to bring different things out. And so where we can only cater to one thing at a time, some students have the arts, art, music, creative writing, and dance and drama to be a little bit more communicative, more so than those students who excel in math or perhaps science.
So it has to be, what you're saying is, it has to be about more than just how it dovetails or integrates with STEM, that there should be an arts-based education component that is just based on the value of the arts as a standalone thing.
Absolutely. It has to be a standalone, and the arts integration works very well if the arts education standalone is of high quality.
And also, I'd like to add that even though assessment systems have given us a lot of really robust data about student learning outcomes, the coupling of high-stakes accountability measures to assessment systems has significantly narrowed the curricular offerings that districts are able to support. And I think that as the pendulum seems to be shifting away from those really high-stakes accountability frameworks, we have to have really honest discussions about how we can reinvigorate the arts and support the arts in more robust ways in all schools.
What about the people who say, I'm just going to play a little devil's advocate here, that all you need are the three R's and all this art stuff really isn't important? What do the studies show? Because I know that there are the people have looked into this, and there's an answer to that.
Absolutely. Those students who have successful years and sequential years, I should say, of high quality arts education are students who tend to achieve higher in academic classes on their high stakes tests, SAT tests, district-wide, statewide assessments. These are students who are creative thinkers. They are critical thinkers. They are students who work well together. They are your collaborators. They are great communicators. And so several things that the arts actually results into would be great communicators, like I said before, critical thinking, problem solving, which is what the STEAM initiative is basically about, problem solving and problem project-based learning, I should say. And so those are maybe the three or four, broad ideals or broad concepts in which the arts can actually lend itself to our students.
And two, recent studies indicate that by the age of 40, our future graduates will have over a dozen jobs in their lifetime. And the skills that will lead to success include reading, writing, and arithmetic, certainly, but also include the collaborative skills, the so-called habits of mind, the ability to attend to precision, the ability to persevere after failure, to exhibit grit, etc. It's these skills that the arts certainly support that will be so essential for the graduates of the future.
We're very, very tight on time, but before we close this out, what are you relying on legislators to do at the state level? We've got about 20 seconds.
I would say relax teacher certification requirements. I know that's been a practical hurdle. I've talked with the Pennsylvania Department of Education about that, and they've been very supportive with that.
And Dr. Cruz?
Just to create more arts education policy initiatives where we do say that our students have arts education or it is essential based on No Child Left Behind, but to really stand behind that and have some great accountability measures to support that.
It's been an interesting discussion. I want to thank both of our guests, Sean Tomaszewski, who serves as the STEAM coordinator for the Pittsburgh Public Schools, and Dr. Kimberly Cruz, Senior Program Officer, Arts Education for the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you,
Paul. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you tomorrow. So long for now.